All right, Henry, we're back.
We're back. Time management.
Go.
I bet you couldn't wait. When you saw this on the syllabus, as you were looking at what was coming, you saw time management, and you said to everyone around you, I can't wait till we get into time management.
Time management is a difficult subject for all of us because we actually have to be self-aware of the seconds. You know, I once heard that there's time and money are your two big resources, but unquestionably, time is more important than money.
Right. You can use your time to get more money, but you can't use money to get more time.
Yeah, some people like to delay that, to look for the fountain of youth, pay a lot of money, live longer. We see a lot of people trying to, but in the end of the day, time is time.
Yeah. You know, my grandfather lived to 100. And that day eventually came, and he eventually died. So you could live 200 years, and eventually you're going to get to the end of that time. Managing your time is really about making sure that you don't squander the time that you have on this
life. Steward of the time.
Yeah, that you actually use the time that you have to do the things that you feel that you're called to do or that you feel you want to do, rather than letting everyone else around you take all of your time. Most people, I think, get to the end of their life and they go, what happened?
Right.
I never really tried to do the things that I thought maybe I wanted to do.
I've met many people who have been so angry at others until they took responsibility. And what I mean by that is, their time got driven by all kinds of forces. And then they had stage one. They came self-aware that time is fleeting.
Right.
Then stage two, whose fault is it that I didn't do the things I want to do?
Right.
And then I've seen them blame others. And then stage three, I own the yes or no of how I spend my time.
Right.
So part of it really is a spiritual revelation to figure out, does my time belong to me? Am I a steward of my time? How important is time management? And once that happens, time management becomes more empowering.
Yeah, in some ways, this is maybe the most important lecture that you are ever going to hear.
There we go. The most important lecture.
All right. Let's look at a verse of Scripture, Psalm 31:15.
My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me.
Okay, so, I mean, this verse is talking about enemies, but in some ways, people that want to steal your time are your enemies. I've always liked this verse. We, back in the day, Henry, remember when we moved to Chicago, we started our own nonprofit, and we had an idea for a planner.
We did.
And we bought Apple MacBooks, and we sat down, and we found a printer, and he printed out these little journals, and we put this verse in that journal. My times are in your hands. And what we realized with, you know, these day timers or these things where you keep track of your schedules and you put your to-do list, you know, today I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And very, you know, as we were doing that, I remember we had our walk with God. We had our little prayer sheets. On my prayer sheet, I would have my supplication, which is asking God to bless all the things I'm going to do. So I'd write all these things down. And then when I came to the office, I had my planner and my to-do list. And I ended up writing the same list.
Right.
And I thought, what are we doing?
Right.
And so we decided to combine those things. Your planning list, your to-do list, is really your prayer list.
Right.
And one of the things, one of the phrases that we came up with is, instead of putting God
in your schedule,
into your schedule, like, you know, you have a schedule and you have all these lines and to-do lists, and then you put, pray to God, read Bible. So God is reduced to one or two lines
in your schedule.
In your schedule. Like, your schedule is the big thing.
Right.
And we take God and we reduce him to one line.
Right.
So we thought, why don't we put God in there first?
Right.
That this is God's page, and our lives get squeezed into him, because he's a bigger thing than our day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put little verses on the day, and we called the to-do list the prayer list.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you guys could do the same thing. You can just get a notebook, Write in the dates, you know, like the next 30 days, and put, you know, September 1, September 2, September 3 on a separate page. You could even put a verse if you wanted to. When you're, let's say you're memorizing a verse.
Yes.
Just put it for every day for a week, and then when you get there, that verse is sitting there waiting for you.
Right.
God is already there. And then make a to-do list, but put in parentheses, prayer list.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, God is... And, you know, really, what is there that you would want to do today that you wouldn't want God to bless?
Right. So instead of putting God in your schedule, you put your schedule into your relationship with God.
Right.
I remember that phrase.
Right. So that notebook sort of represents not just your schedule, but it represents your connection to God and really your connection to others.
Right. That's powerful.
All right. So let's go to the next, Henry. Be clear on your purpose. So that's part of, you know, time management. A lot of times people think is just, you know, figuring out how to use a journal and how to make to-do lists and check things off and so on and so forth. But before you even get to scheduling your day, you have to step way back and go, what is my life? What do I want to do with my life? So be clear, first of all, on your purpose. This is one of my favorite verses.
Acts 13, verse 36. Now when David had served God's purpose, in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed.
So that last part is not that exciting. You know, if you're doing this study in the morning, this is not a real pick-me-up verse.
Right.
You know, his body decayed, he's buried with his ancestors. But that first part, when David had served God's purpose. In his own generation. And the way to make this verse apply to you is instead of saying David, just put your name in it. So if I were to do it, I would say when Steve served God's purpose in his own generation.
Right.
Okay? That's what I want to manage in terms of time management.
Right.
What is God's purpose? What is God's purpose for my life in my generation?
Mm-hmm.
We only have one time that we live, and you can complain about this time.
Right.
You can complain about your circumstances and what's happened so far in your life. You know, this thing happened.
Right.
You were born here. You didn't have the opportunity. You got in trouble. You wasted all of this time. You wasted that time. Maybe you feel like you're wasting your time right now. You know what? This is your time. This is your generation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's going on. You don't get another time, so this is it.
Right.
So instead of, you know, looking at all the negatives of the time that you have had, own this time.
Yeah.
This is your time. This is your generation.
Yeah.
God has put you here specifically for a reason. Find that purpose.
Yes.
So that's step one.
And that, you're saying, is foundational for time management.
Yes. Before you get into what are you going to do each day and what's your schedule, and how, step back and go, what do I really want to do? And so we're hoping that as you're thinking about that, that maybe you want to be a leader.
Right.
That maybe you want to make a difference in the lives of people. That's what a leader is.
Right.
A leader is not someone who sits high and has everyone, you know, bow down to them and think they're awesome, though sometimes we do that. A leader is a leader because they help people.
You know what I like, Steve? I like the surprising leaders of life. And I've seen thousands. People who were born on the wrong side of the tracks. People who ended up in jail or prison. Who God put a passion in their life, and they have changed their environment, and they have changed those in their environment. I like those underdogs. I like seeing when someone owns their priorities, their thoughts, their actions. I love that.
So there's that story in the Bible of Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph was, you know, he had a dream. He felt like God was going to do something with him. And next thing you know, he's sold into slavery. He ends up in a prison.
Yeah. Falsely accused.
Falsely accused.
Yes.
He has no way of getting out. People are betraying him left, right, and center. But what does he do?
He takes responsibility.
He takes responsibility. He sees what he can do in the prison, to make things better.
Yeah.
That's all. He just said, I'm here. I'm going to be God's servant in this place. And because he was God's servant, and then nothing happened for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he had somebody that was supposed to help him.
I think
him.
He did some study at CLI in ministry training. Oh, wait a minute. That's before our time.
Okay. Anyway. So he had someone that was supposed to help him because he helped them and he didn't. And, you know, but eventually God honored his just being faithful and trying to make a difference in the place where he was.
Right.
And then he got ascended to the second most powerful person in Egypt.
Yeah.
It changed the course of God's people's direction. I mean, Joseph is one of the big pillars in the Old Testament.
Right.
But he was wasting away in a prison with no way out.
Right. Right.
So maybe you feel that way too. But
the underdog.
You just have to find your purpose.
Yeah.
In the moment that you're in your generation.
In your situation. In your place.
Okay. Prioritize your life goals. Okay.
Life goals?
Maybe some of you are like, what do you mean life goals? Do I have life goals? I think a lot of us just sort of our goals just happen on us. Like we're in school, right. Then we get out, and we need money, right. So we get a job. Then also we meet someone. Maybe we get married. We have kids. We do all these things because it was just something that fell into our lap, or right. It was the next thing. And what we're suggesting is that you step back, maybe get out a piece of paper, and just go right on the top. My life goals. Now, my guess is some of them are going to do that. They're going to look at that piece of paper, and they're going to be like, I have no idea.
Right.
Keep staring at that piece of paper. Because little by little by little, all of a sudden, well, maybe I could this.
Right.
Or maybe I could that. Or maybe I could be in ministry.
Right.
Maybe I could be a leader. Maybe if you just start thinking about areas of your life goals in terms of family,
right?
Life goals in terms of friendship,
right?
Life goals in terms of the place where you're at right now. What could you do right now?
Mm-hmm.
How long do you have in the prison? What thing could you do when you get out? What would you like to do? If you could do anything,
what would it be?
What would it be? Mm-hmm. Well, I could never do that. Write it down.
Just write it down.
When you're in the brainstorming phase of trying to figure out what your life goals are, there's no wrong answer.
No.
If you want to be the president of the United States, then write it down.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Who knows? It happened to Joseph.
Yep. Well, and here's something, too, that happens in that curiosity. Sometimes the voice of God speaks to you in a way you were surprised about.
Right.
And next thing you know, you've got a fire in your belly. And then opportunities start coming before you.
Right. So the reason I said now, you know, maybe try to spend some time thinking about life goals in the broadest sense. Mm-hmm. Let's say you want to be a better father.
Right.
Let's say you want to be a better spouse. Let's say you want to be an entrepreneur. Let's say you want to better walk with God. You have all these life goals. And then within that, where does Christian Leaders Institute, where does this course of study that you're starting here, where might that fit with those life goals?
So what you're saying is that when you start picking classes, you're going to pick them out of your life goals.
Right.
So even if you're not there yet, these are topics that sort of prime the pump to take you to the next step, if it's only study.
Right. So if you want to be a better father, let's say, mm-hmm. or mother, we have courses on that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to start a business, we have entrepreneur classes that from A to Z show you exactly what you need to do.
Right, right.
We have this thing called Ministry Biz, where it's a ministry and it's a business at the same time.
That's right.
And, you know, when you get out, you're saying, you know, that's maybe something I want to do.
Yeah.
So as you're thinking about all the things you really want to do, then you can specifically start looking at Christian Leaders Institute and all the different classes and all the different certificates and awards,
right,
and start thinking about how those things can help you.
And even if you're one who's not going to get out because you're a lifer and yep, you're still studying, there is goals you have. And we have classes that will feed your service to those in your situation.
Who knows what you can accomplish?
I know.
I mean, you know,
you can.
You have
it.
The rest of your life to figure this out. And why
yeah,
not? Why
in your
not?
Generation.
This is your generation. This is your time. And you can begrudge it. You can be angry about it. Or you can embrace it and grab hold of it and make something out of it.
Yes. So time management is an adventure.
It's an adventure.
Not a burden.
Right. All right. So break down your CLI goals. So Luke 14:28.
For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?
Okay, and then Proverbs 6.
Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest.
Okay, so both of these verses are really talking about how if you're going to do something, there's some planning.
Right.
There's sort of a breaking down of the goals. So I think a lot of people have big, broad goals. Okay, I want to be a better father.
Right.
And then nothing happens.
Right.
Because it's too vague. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? You have to break it down into, well, step one, I'm going to this. And step two, I'm going to do that. If you're building a house, okay, I want to build a house. Okay.
Right.
Where do you start? There's so many things to do. Where do you even start? Well, you start by you need a piece of property. Then
right,
you need a foundation. And then you need to build on the foundation. And then
you have
there's
to
like
have an architectural plan somewhere in there, too. I mean,
there's so many pieces with all of these things. So, but most people stop with their time management with the broad general goal. Well, I'm just going to take classes at CLI. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, they're not taking classes
right,
at CLI. They don't know how it fits into their broader goals. They lose motivation. They didn't know what class to take. They didn't know what step to take. They didn't follow, like, you know, we try to make it relatively easy for you so that you can, you know, step by step.
Right.
You know, you lecture, then this thing, and then you do the quiz, and then you go to the next one, and it's all laid out there for you. But, you know, that's what it takes to advance.
I met this one CLI student who just really born the wrong side of the tracks, went through incarceration. In prison, he came to this place where either I am going to get a calling or a vision or anything, or I'm just going to waste away.
Yeah.
And a chaplain talked to him, and they started talking about what we're talking about today. And now today, he is leading in prison ministry, and he has shared his story again and again. But it all came down to getting the priority and focusing specifically on what he is called to do and what he will be called to do in the future.
Okay. So we're going to try to help you break it down a little bit. Break down your Christian Leaders Institute goals.
Cool.
Number one, big picture. Why CLI? Why are you doing this at all?
Right.
How did you come to this? Maybe it was a friend. Maybe somebody shared an opportunity. You didn't have anything to do, so you did it. Try to figure out why it is that you want to even do this. That's
right.
Step one.
Okay.
Step two, why a particular class? Okay, so this is the intro class.
Right.
This helps you get going. It helps you understand what the whole thing is, what's involved. We're trying to, with some of these lectures, give you some motivation.
Right, right.
And to get you to dream and get you excited and enthusiastic and build you up. But once you finish this, okay, so now what are you going to do?
Right.
So start thinking about, you know, start going through all the different classes. We have how many classes? Well, we have hundreds.
Okay.
I mean, and even as the prison edition develops, more classes will be added. So it's awesome.
Right. All right.
Options.
Number three, when to start and when to finish. Okay, so now we're getting specific.
Right.
When do you start?
This almost seems too simple, like too duh. Why is this even in this presentation? Like when to start, pardon me, like you start when you start.
Right. And then when you finish is when you finish.
When you finish, you finish.
And so what the problem is, people have no idea what then to plan for. Right? So if I just start and then I take a class, I do a thing, and how long does, I had a friend of mine do exactly this. He didn't look at it. He didn't look ahead. He didn't see how many classes there were. And he was supposed to have it done within a year. And all of a sudden, he's like, it's 7 months in, he's done three, and he's got nine to go. And he finally looked at it and said, oh, there's 12. I didn't know that. Well, if you had looked at it, you would know it, and then you can plan accordingly. So that's, in a way, number four. You can backtrack into the course. If you
backtrack.
If I'm going to start, let's say I'm going to start this class today, and I know there's 12 lessons, and I want to finish in a month. Okay, so there's 30 days, and there's 10 sessions. I have to do a session every 3 days.
Right.
So that's backtracking.
So then you put that in your little connection planner that you wrote out with the Bible verse and all of that, right?
So now I
can pray about it.
I sort of have a plan that I can follow. So most people don't do that. They just kind of, I'll just watch whenever I watch. And then they don't, why is this taking so long? Well, you never really sat down and figured it out.
Right.
Now, maybe you want to take 2 months, so now it's one every 6 days. Or maybe you're going to take 3 months, now it's one every 9 days. Or it's one a week, it's going to take 10 weeks. But you try to look at what you want to accomplish, and then you backtrack the time that it's going to take, and now you have a plan of study.
Right.
And you feel like maybe you went a little ahead. Hey, now I feel good because I'm a little ahead.
Now, I saw something in Professor Elzinga here just recently where it illustrates it really well. Okay, so they purchased a property to renovate. And I happen to have a son-in-law who does floors, tiles and all that. And so then Professor Elzinga, Steve, says, we're going to go down in 10 days. And in 10 days, we're going to renovate this whole house. Okay, so he picks a date, a starting date. And then an indie day, 10 days. Okay. I looked at the pictures of the house. I go, oh, yeah, sure. Well, anyway, they had their schedule. My son went down there, and my son-in-law went down there and even testified to how everything was all prioritized. This was this. And they got a house, I kid you not, renovated in 10 days. So, but that took... high level time management, I would imagine.
Right. And a goal. See, we were, here I'm 64 years old. I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning every day, working till 10.
At night, because your goal is strong.
Yeah, because I can see.
You have to prioritize it. Yeah.
I can see what it's going to take to do this, and there's no time to just mess around. The point is, when you kind of have an outline of things, and you have these specific goals, and it's all broken down into daily or smaller chunks, it's very motivating. I actually, it was a lot of work, but I sort of enjoyed it because you feel like you're
good.
Making something happen.
Yeah.
And you're not just squandering the time that you have.
I love that.
All right, number five, how much time is needed? So again, and when to study, what's the last one? We'll come back to that one. So once you have a beginning and an end, you know what you want to accomplish, you start figuring out, it's really you're breaking down the big goal into smaller sections.
Right.
And then you kind of know how you're going to do it. And then, once you've done one lesson, you sort of know how long it takes.
Right.
The first lecture you did, okay, it took some so long, you took some notes, maybe you watched it twice, maybe that's what you want to do with all of them, so you figure out how much time that was, and then you did the reading, how long did that take, and then you put maybe your notes together, and you sort of did a little studying, and then you took the quiz. Well, now you have sort of a benchmark. This is what each one is sort of going to take, give or take a few. Now you can sort of project into the future. How many courses can I do in a year?
Right?
So we have some students who, you know, they often will bite off more than they chew.
Oh, yeah.
They'll sign up for like 5 classes.
Right.
And because they have no clue how long any of them take.
Right.
So again, time management is sort of having these realistic, you know, breaking down things into smaller pieces that you sort of know you can do. And really what it does, and I see video games, maybe some of you are into video games. What video games do is they reward you often.
Right.
It used to be, you know, you went to school and finally at the end of the year, they say congratulations.
Here's your grade.
You know, it's like, yeah, I got to work all year, but one little pat on the back.
Right.
Whereas what we're trying to do is break it down so you get a little pat on the back every time you finish a lecture.
Right.
Every time you do a quiz. A quiz is like, hey, good job.
Right.
You listened well, you took great notes, and you got 19 out of 20.
Right.
Good job, and you're motivated to go to the next one.
You know, in many ways, when I've noticed when people do fail at Christian Leaders Institute, it's because their goals and their priorities are so expansive. 5 classes, and they eat a little bit here, noodle, and you have 180 days to complete it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's day 75, and everything is all diffused, and all of a sudden, frustration sets in, and then you say, no, I quit. That's why we often recommend just do one class at a time.
Stick to your schedule.
Get your habits going. Get your goals clear. And when you face failure, know what to do about failure.
Right, which is the last one. 7, have failure and setback plan. So what?
A plan for failure?
Yes. What are you going to do if you fail?
Many people say quit. I mean, don't. That's our natural inclination. We want to quit and just sort of eliminate that from our life and say, oh, well, we tried, we give up.
Yeah. I think, you know, we end up quitting, but we didn't plan on quitting because we didn't plan on failure.
Right.
Right? We don't, when we enter something, we start something, we never think we're going to fail.
No, not us.
So we're just going to tell you ahead of time that you are.
Right.
So knowing that, what will you do when you fail?
Right.
What happens when you take a quiz and you get 10 out of 20? What are you going to do?
Quit.
No, but I mean, that is what we've seen.
Right.
Many people just get so frustrated.
Yes.
And what we've done is, in these classes, we made it so that one of the quizzes in every single class that where you're allowed to take a quiz once, and all of those classes, we will throw out your lowest score because we want to aid you in not quitting.
Right.
And embrace failure.
Yes.
You know, how many times did you fall before you learned how to walk?
Right.
How long did it take for you to learn how to put sentences together?
Right, learn.
English, by the way, is one of the hardest languages in the world to learn, and you know it.
Yeah.
You learn it. So it's not like you can't do things, but some of us are quicker, some of us are slower, some of us it takes a little longer, some of us fail more often before we get there.
Right.
So what?
Right. Is failure a journey of learning and your success, or is failure an event that holds you back?
Right. All right. So key steps in meeting goals. 1, make sure that they're doable.
Doable.
All right, that's
the
that
thing. Point.
Yeah.
Take one class at a time.
Yeah,
I recommend that. One class at a time.
And get a feel for things before.
Right.
Maybe you're so brilliant you could take 5 classes, but you don't know that yet.
No. First start with one.
So
maybe
then
two, you know, but be doable.
See how it goes. So people often have lofty goals and then they never do a thing with it.
Right.
It's better to get a sense of success that you can build on.
Right.
Rather than take too much, fail, and then you know, you're done.
Give up, yeah.
Okay, number two, measurable.
So a lot of people have a goal. I want to be a better husband. Okay. So how do you measure that? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to be a better husband. And then a year later, are you a better husband? Well, who knows?
Right.
What was the measuring stick? So
right.
If I want to be a better husband, okay, number one, I want to take a class on it. See, that's
right.
Measurable.
Right, it is.
Did you take the class?
Yeah, we have a Thriving Marriage
class.
We have Conversations class and all of these types of
things. See, now there's a specific thing that you did that we can say, did you do it or didn't you do it? And then within that kind of class, there'll be all kinds of suggestions of what you could do.
Right.
Did you take your spouse on a date night every week for
That's
a
measurable.
Month? Or didn't you? See,
right.
If you don't have something measurable, you just have this vague general idea of what you want to do, and then a year later, nothing has changed in your life. Say, if you want to, you finally get out of incarceration, you want to start your own business. Guess what? There's steps, things that you must do, or it's not going to happen.
Right. One of the things that we found in ministry, a lot of the pastors struggle with people skills, and that's not taught in most seminaries. So what's measurable? Well, we have a People Smart class that you can take. Well, that's measurable. But even in the class, it talks about like specific skills that you can measure. So let's say you're a talker, or you're someone who doesn't talk. Well, you can even in your planner write down today in the mess hall when I was eating, I did not interrupt one person, and you measure it down. And maybe that's in your goal. It's like, I will listen for the next month, and I won't talk very much.
Right.
So you put that.
Yes.
So then when you come back and say your prayers, you're in your little planner here, and then you go check the box. I did not interrupt anybody, and I listened.
Right.
In fact, then you can put how many times somebody says, are you okay, Henry? You haven't talked very much.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm okay. I'm just listening. Yeah. And you get to write that down. That's even something like in the very behaviors. If you make it a score, a game, you can measure that game.
Right.
So part of things are measurable and make it a fun thing to do.
That, and sports is that, right? I mean, we measure baskets. If we took the hoop away, we'd have people dribbling around. But we put the basket there and we count them.
Yes.
It's measurable. It's something that's doable and it's something that's measurable.
Right.
All right. Number three, accountable. Doable, measurable, accountable. So a lot of times we have goals, we want to do things, but we never tell anybody and we never have someone accountable. And why don't we tell someone?
Because, well, many times we don't tell them because we don't want to dare to say them, because if we fail, then we have to say we failed.
Right.
So we don't do anything. Yeah.
Right. So we don't want to tell anyone because we don't want to be accountable. But the reality is most everything that we succeed at is because someone held us accountable for it.
Right. There's that one passage of Philippians. Take note of those who live it according to the pattern we gave you. Okay. Take note. In other words, even the Apostle Paul sees that when someone's walking in a pattern with God, there's a take note piece of that.
Right.
In some ways, things like church. A lot of times, I hear this all the time, that people, they like God, they like the Bible, they just don't like the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like the church because that's religion.
Yeah.
I like God, but I don't like religion. Well, religion is just the accountable piece.
Yeah, so that back to earlier lecture, we talk about a habit.
Yes.
A little bit of
So we don't always like the habit. Let's say I want to lose weight, and then I step on the scale. The scale is that accountable piece, and I don't like the scale.
Right.
Right, I get a little angry at the scale.
Yeah.
Okay, I would rather not have to step on the scale. But if I don't have a scale, guess what? I eat another donut. So that scale is that thing that says, do you seriously want to do this or don't you?
Right.
Is this one of your goals or isn't this one of your goals?
That's right.
And so number four, steps to meeting goals. Number four, scalable.
Proverbs 13, verse 11, This honest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow.
So what we mean by scalable is it's a little by little thing that change, growth, all these things. The good things in life come to us when they come little by little by little. You don't lose 10 pounds in a moment. You lose 10 pounds over a period of time. You don't learn a language in a moment. You learn it little by little by little. You don't finish this class in a moment. You do it lecture by lecture, reading by reading, course by course, and all of a sudden, you become this different person.
You know, in a lot of ways, correspondence education is challenging, but you need to be self-aware, because a typical college, residential college, you just show up.
Yeah.
But not Christian Leaders Institute. Christian Leaders Institute, you must prioritize.
Right.
You must have goals.
Yeah.
You must do it little by little,
right,
or it will not be done.
Right. You have to manage your time, because there's no teacher managing your time for you.
Right.
And so in some ways it's really cool, because you can sort of own the whole thing.
Right.
On the other hand, it's harder. It takes more responsibility on your part. But what we have seen is the people that do this, it's almost like a side skill that this is helping you do.
Yeah.
You're becoming a more responsible person. And in some ways, being more responsible with your life is really a prior step to even learning things.
We've noticed that the graduates of Christian Leaders Institute and college are self-starters, because they face their own personal setbacks that have held them back, and now they take initiative, and that behavior of taking initiative changes everything.
So what if I'm not I'm a horrible self-starter? I'm that guy out there. I'm a horrible self-starter.
Right. So you have opportunity now to little by little change the narrative of your life.
Right.
With God's help.
Right.
I believe you can do it.
So right now you think you're not a self-starter, and maybe you're not. But maybe by the end of this class, you'll be more of a self-starter.
So time management, the adventure. Go for it and see what God is going to do.